How hot is it? It's so hot. Fill in the blank on our comments page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show right now. And on the air in a few minutes, we'll see what you're writing. It's so hot. It's as hot as Federer was cold. It's so hot. Hillary Clinton's exit speech cooled the tempers of her supporters. Whatever. It's so hot. Fill in the blank at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll talk about the rising temperatures and the rising price of milk right now. A city council study last week found stores throughout the city gouging on milk prices. With us to talk about the study's findings and what can be done to better enforce the New York State milk pricing law. Did you know that the price of milk is regulated by law in New York? Councilwoman Letitia James, who represents Central Brooklyn. Councilwoman, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
I'm okay.
Brian, and good morning to your listeners.
Now, actually, before we get into milk, is there anything that you think people need to know right now in your district or anything else with respect to the heat? Is everything okay? Are cooling centers operating? What's going on?
The cooling centers are open, and I urge all of, particularly those, the elderly and the infirmed and young children to go to our cooling centers. Our parks also have some sprinklers. Take the children to the sprinklers. Individuals need to drink more water, drink a lot of water, and just stay in the shade. Close your blinds. If you have AC, turn it up. If, in fact, there is any emergencies, please contact my office. We will be here. My number is 718-260-9191. Haven't received any reports of any emergencies, and thus far all seems to be doing well in Fort Greene, Clinton Hill, Prospect Heights, Crown Heights, parts of Bedford Stuyvesant, and Dumbo.
You know your district well. And we'll get later on in the hour into some of the heat-beating tips from the New York Office of Emergency Management. The obvious ones: staying out of the sun. If you don't have an air conditioner, keep your rooms well ventilated with open windows and fans and other things as we go. But I'll just repeat what I said before the news. If you have an elderly or infirm neighbor, why don't you go check on them this morning and see if they're okay? All right. The study on the price of milk. First of all, why do we regulate milk in New York State? We don't regulate the price of practically anything else, right?
No, that's true. But, you know, the State Department of Ag and Markets, the agricultural market, sets a threshold for the price of milk as a guideline to retailers. It's a guideline. It's not a mandate. But based upon an investigation, and let me just give you a backdrop. In my district, I represent some you know well-to-do residents, and then some those who are on the who are marginal. And when I walked in the district, I just noticed that the price of milk, you know, fluctuated from community to community. And I contacted Councilmember Joya, who's head of our investigation unit, and I asked him to conduct an investigation and to go to the small stores, the bodegas, as well as the chains, and to just check out the, you know, prices for milk. I had suspected that the individuals were engaging in price gouging, and in fact, the report confirmed my suspicions. And so a significant number of food retailers in the city are engaging in milk gouging, milk price gouging.
And what is the price of milk supposed to be? Is there an actual set price? I know you said it's a guideline, not a mandate. But does this apply across the board to, you know, a quart of milk, no matter what brand, whether it's 1% milk, skim milk, whatever it is, and that people can know, and you can say, okay, this is the number to look for, that's the legal price of a quart or a half gallon of milk?
Yeah, there are certain guidelines, and I'm going to get the guidelines for you in a minute or two. And, you know, the guidelines, again, like I said, are set by the state. And in some bodegas, they give them some flexibility because they recognize the challenges in operating a small store. But the retailers, it's much more stringent. And even with the big chains, with the big retailers, we discovered that, in fact, the price fluctuated wildly. And, in fact, depending upon where you shopped, The numbers were just amazing, and which is why so many children, particularly between the ages of 4 to 8, are not drinking milk as they have done in the past. And that's why we have urged a significant number of recommendations, and we ask that the state and the federal government look into our recommendations and perhaps adopt them.
By the way, I see that New York One is now listing 90 degrees on their weather button.
Really?
And at 11 minutes after 10 in the morning, how many times a year do you see 90 degrees?
My God.
So that's just an indication of where it seems to be going today. So what are you recommending?
Well, you know, the New York State Department of Ag and Markets, we should, you know, recommend should commence its oversight efforts by conducting more regular price gouging enforcement. Again, under the previous administration, of Pataki, there was, you know, Ag and Markets, that particular agency was pretty much gutted, and they have not they've not hired a significant number of inspectors to check the prices. Two, we urge New York City Department of Consumer Affairs, they should work closely together to increase public awareness of the prices and the monthly milk threshold. We should implement a more comprehensive system of notifying milk retailers of the upcoming month's price threshold. It's important to know that the threshold changes from month to month, and it's really important to notify each of the retailers of the threshold. Some claim that they were unaware of it, which is why they claim that their price was totally in violation of that threshold. And lastly, we ask that the retailers should stay abreast of changes to this price threshold. Again, a significant number of retailers are totally unaware of this threshold, totally ignorant of the law, and it's only because, again, inspectors from New York State Ag and Markets had not engaged in any oversight efforts in some time.
How specifically can you give us the threshold as it stands for the month of June?
Let's see. Let me just check my pricing right here. Let's see. I have a list of pricing. I'm trying to find it for you. But in the meantime, let's go to another question.
Okay. Well, here's one from our comments page that says, how flexible is the law in allowing producers and retailers to recoup prices of inputs? With energy costs, petroleum and electricity rising, any price control will likely pinch the producers, and the unintentional result may be reduced supply, putting additional upward pressure on price. Does the law allow for rapid adjustments in such cases? Asks Robert in Park Slope.
Good question. It does take into consideration all of these increased costs. It doesn't take into consideration inflation. It takes into consideration the cost of, you know, utilities and gas and all of that. It does take that into consideration. In fact, it's part of the price. It's part of the inflated price. But again, it does put a threshold on it, which is why the prices are adjusted on a monthly basis.
Now, the law, as I understand it, this is pretty unique around the country. I know that's not good English, pretty unique. but I don't think it's entirely unique. So let's say it's pretty unusual, our milk price gouging law. In fact, some other regions of the country actually have price supports for milk. So is there something that makes this region unique or unusual?
Well, you know, there's the factors that determine the price of milk are many, and they tend to be complicated. You know, international trade policy, negotiations between milk processors and, you know, cooperatives of dairy farmers, you know, distributors and retail, their costs, labor, fuel, all the things that the individual who posted that question had outlined. They obviously have an impact on the price of milk. And so, you know, which is why, again, the price is adjusted on a monthly basis. And again, there's somewhat argue that there's some factors which are unique to the metropolitan area. And again, those are, again, incorporated into the price and reflected into the monthly price.
Now, before you go, and actually you mentioned City Councilman Eric Gioia,
yes,
who is the head of the investigation unit,
yes,
on this. We're going to talk to him next in a minute. But let me just ask you one question about another thing. Are you coming up on your term limit next year? Are you done?
No. Because of as most of you know, I was elected in a special election, and I was elected to office in the aftermath of a tragedy. And the first 3 years of my tenure, I was completing the term of the late council member James Davis.
Right, that's right. So you didn't come in on the usual cycle, so you have a few more years. I'm just curious if you think that, you know, with the talk that got floated last week of Mayor Bloomberg polling around the city to see if people would be willing to suspend term limits so that he could run again. I presume that wouldn't just be for mayor, but would also be for city council if it ever came to that referendum again. I think Speaker Christine Quinn had just basically held off a repeal term limits surge from among the Democratic caucus. Is this dead in city council?
No, there has a number of my colleagues have engaged in this conversation, this debate as to whether or not we should revisit term limits. And your question to me as to whether or not this was the end of my term suggests the inherent inequity in the system, in that I, as a city council member, I am in office for 11 years compared to my colleagues to my east and to my west who are only in office 8 years.
Huh.
I believe that's fundamentally unfair.
Because your first election was in a special election,
correct,
then you get to run in for two additional four-year terms?
Yes. I think that's just unfair. Let me also say this. I am working...
You don't have to run again.
Excuse me?
If it's so unfair, you don't have to run again.
No, it is. Well, no, all the law can be changed to correct the inequity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a number of options on the table. Let me also go on to say that I've been working, and my colleagues as well, have been working on a number of projects throughout in our districts. And I want to realize and see that project. For instance, I'm working on a number of affordable housing developments. And these developments cannot be realized in 8 years or in 10 years. One can argue perhaps 12 years. Let me also go on to say I also want to see the end of Atlantic Yards and the change I want to revisit Atlantic Yards, that project. And it doesn't look like the controversy will end in my term and that it will continue. And the next person who takes this seat over, I want them to be just as vigilant on the changes and the changes with respect to Atlantic Yards and the inequities with respect to Atlantic Yards and all of the other issues
but
that Atlantic Yards raises.
Right. Well, I have to go in a minute, but if the people of your district oppose the Atlantic Yards project and you were term limited out, they could elect another anti-Atlantic Yards council person,
couldn't
they?
I would hope so. But again, I would hope so. But I would like to see, since it began when I was first elected, I would like to see it end when I end my term in office. And that's why I believe we should revisit the term limits. I believe that there are some inequities in the system that need to be addressed.
Okay. City Councilwoman Letitia James, you want to go through that litany of what your district covers again?
Fort Greene, Clinton Hill, Prospect Heights, Crown Heights, parts of Bedford-Stuyvesant, and Dumbo. And unfortunately, I did not get the prices for you. I cannot find that note, but hopefully my colleague could inform your listeners.
Maybe he will, especially since he headed the investigation. City
yes.
Councilwoman Letitia James, stay cool.
Thank you. You too.
From our comments page, how hot is it? It's so hot that I think well within our lifetimes it will be too dangerous to go outside in the summer, writes MC from Brooklyn. It's so hot, I actually miss winter. It's so hot, I sweat off the baby powder I rubbed on my body about 10 minutes after I put it on. That's too much information. We'll go through some of these in addition and take your phone calls in a few minutes on It Is So Hot. Fill in the blank at 212-433-WNYC, and you can get in line for that now, 212-433-9692. How hot is it? It's so hot. Fill in the blank, 212-433-9692. And again, it's so hot that I hope you'll be checking on some of your elderly or infirm neighbors today to see if they're okay. Now, let's check in on the heat and a little bit more about the price of milk with City Councilman Eric Gioia from Sunnyside and surrounding neighborhoods in Western Queens. Councilman Gioia, hello.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Can you do the litany of your neighborhoods as well as Letitia James?
I sure can. I'm proud to represent Woodside, Sunnyside, Maspeth, Astoria, and Long Island City, where I grew up in Woodside.
It's a day to stay on the shady side, not the sunny side, don't you think?
Come out and check out Sunnyside. We've got a beautiful historic district that has lots of trees, and it's someone told me that it's about 2 degrees cooler in Sunnyside year round.
Huh. Are you hearing any reports, by the way, from your district of any heat emergencies or any particular cooling centers that people can go to or anything like that?
Well, sure. There's a cooling center in Sunnyside. It's Sunnyside Community Services. The Woodside Senior Center is a cooling center, and in Long Island City, St. Mary's Senior Center is a cooling center. So anybody in my neck of the woods, feel free to go there. You can also call my office if you're having some difficulty, 718-383-9566. And I think your advice to check on elderly neighbors is a good one that everyone and across the city should do. In addition, you know, remember we had a severe blackout in Queens a couple of years ago, 9 days without power, 250,000 people who really, it was very difficult those 9 days. I'm recommending that people stock up on water, non-perishable food, and make sure that they have a hardline phone, an old-fashioned phone that just plugs into a wall without batteries or that's got a cord attached to it, so that in case there is a blackout, they can reach out for help.
You know, funny, we did a segment on this recently when we were talking about being prepared for emergencies in general, and people tend to think about terrorism, you know, first and foremost in New York, obviously, but for old-fashioned emergencies, like a power outage during a heat wave, that same thing that we discussed at some length on the show last month actually applies, which is to have one of those old-fashioned phones, just as you say, that doesn't run on electricity, that doesn't have the bells and whistles, that just plugs into the phone jack. Mm-hmm. And that phone will ring, that phone will dial out, as long as the phone system doesn't go down, but that doesn't run on the same power grid that
that's
the
right.
normal electricity does. So that's a good emergency tip for everybody to be repeated. Now, you did this investigation on the price of milk.
Mm-hmm.
Letitia James was telling us some of what you found. Can you tell us what the legal price of milk is right
sure.
now for the month of June?
For the month of June 2008, the price is for a gallon of milk, $3.93 for a half gallon, $2.01, and for a quart of milk, $1.04. And now I challenge your listeners to go out there and go to their supermarkets and their local corner store or their bodega and try to find milk at that price. If their experience is anything like the experience my investigators had, is that we found 86% of stores were actually charging above this threshold. And, you know, for folks who just put a drop of milk in their coffee in the morning, this probably isn't something they notice. But when you've got a little baby like me, I mean, my girl's 2 years old, and she drinks over 2 gallons of milk a week. And when you're being overcharged about 40 cents a gallon continuously, it adds up. And, you know, of course, I'm going to be okay. But if you're living on a fixed income, if you remember last year, I lived on food stamps for a week to show how difficult it was. The average food stamp recipient in New York gets $28 a week. If you're being overcharged a couple of bucks every single week for an essential part of your diet, that really adds up, and you may be forced to make choices that no one in our city should ever make.
So that $3.93 for a gallon, $1.04 for a quart, that's across the board, whether it's, you know, low lactose milk or
no, well,
skim, you know, everything.
It's a good question. We actually didn't look. My investigators went in and looked for the cheapest milk they could find. They didn't look at any of the. They didn't look at soy milk. They didn't look at super milk. They didn't look at low lactose milk. Just regular old fashioned, plain old milk.
My understanding is that that covers skim, 1%, 2%, and full.
That's right.
So those are the prices. So what should somebody actually do now that you've done this gouging study and found a fair amount of it going on? What should somebody do if they go into their local store and find milk more than that?
They should do a few things. One, they should call up the customer hotline. It's 518-457-5731. They should also call my office, 718-383-9566. We released this report on Thursday, and I've heard from a number of New Yorkers who I spoke to one woman actually yesterday. She came up to me on the street, and she said, you know, this doesn't really affect me, but I was so moved by it because I remember when I had little kids and how important milk was for them. I started looking around, and I couldn't find a single place in my neighborhood that was selling milk at the threshold. And it's important to note why this law exists. Now, in stores, you can charge whatever you want for almost anything. Our system here. Milk is different, and since 1991, there's been this law that tries to balance the need of farmers, the needs of store owners, and the needs of consumers. Because milk is perishable, So you can't stock up. You can't try to find the best bargain and buy a month's supply or 2 months' supply. For obvious reasons, it goes bad. And because it is a necessity, milk is not a luxury. You need milk, especially for little kids. It's a market where no matter what the price is, people are going to have to pay it because it's so necessary. And that's why this law took effect. And the law is designed to allow a profit in there for the stores so that it actually encourages people to carry it.
By the way, my producer says that the state is recommending a different number than the one that you gave out. They said city council has that number, but a better number to call is the following. If anybody wants to report milk price gouging, 1-800-554-4501. And that's better also because it's toll-free, so
sure.
You don't have to dial the 518 to get to Albany. 1-800-554-4501. They also have a webpage that takes comments at, this is a typical, you know, impenetrable New York State government web address, but it's AGMKT for Ag Market, agmkt.state.ny.us. But that toll-free number, 1-800-554-4501. Is it a little absurd, before you go, Councilman, the fact that milk and almost nothing else, I mean, the whole economy is reeling right now because oil could go from, you know, $30 a barrel 4 years ago to
right.
$140 a barrel practically over the weekend. And everything else can go as high as the market will bear, but we just regulate milk.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a distinction with milk because it's such a necessity, because it is such a part of a healthy growing diet, that this is the one exception to the rule where there's actually a price that's fixed, and it's worked. You know, and that you can find milk in every store in New York City, but I think what has happened is the state really became lax and stopped enforcing a law. And not only stopped enforcing it, I think they stopped telling people there was a law. And so you have a lot of well-meaning grocers who had no idea this law was even on the books. People who've gone into business over the past couple of years didn't know it was on the books. And the state has not done a good job of alerting them of the price. Now with email, it really should be quite easy for the state to get this information out to grocers across the state, as well as informing the public. And the public, your listeners, can be the best enforcement agents on this law by going out there, checking the prices, letting me know, letting the state know, so that we can make sure we can actually drive down the price of milk. And that's the key. When you talk about all these other things that are going up, I mean, I think everyone knows that gasoline is extraordinarily expensive now. We really can't affect that in New York City. But we can drive down the cost of milk, which is a lot more important for growing families.
By the way, there is such a thing, as you know, as evaporated milk. And on our comments page, it says, how hot is it? It's so hot. And SK in Midtown wrote, it's so hot, I'm evaporating. So don't leave your milk out in the sun. It'll do worse things before it evaporates.
And keep in mind, by the way, when we went out and looked at it, we looked for the cheapest milk. As you know, anyone who shops for milk knows that as it gets closer to the expiration date, the price begins to drop. This investigation is for the cheapest available milk in each store.
How hot is it in Woodside?
It's pretty. Well, I don't have a witty response. It's terrible.
I thought I'd try it, you know. All right, City Councilman Eric Gioia of Woodside, Sunnyside, and places around there. Thank you very much for joining
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Call us up. It's so hot. What? 212-433-9692.